Welcome to Texas Style Coworking. The Ranch Office is a neighborhood community office that delivers a warm atmosphere with a heavy dose of Southern hospitality. Located in Memorial, Katy, and Baytown, we offer private offices, conference rooms, event space, and much more. Come change things up and check us out. Remember, life is better at the ranch.
Welcome to ESG Energize, where we discuss the latest developments in the environmental, social, and governance arena that are impacting the energy industry today. Here is your host, Delfina Govia.
This is Delfina Govia, your busy business boss, executive, strategist, and transformational leader, whose mission on this show is to educate, engage, and energize the global community on topics of sustainability and ESG. ESG Energized audience, today we are going to have a discussion that I have been wanting to have for about a year now. I was recently at the Energy Transition Conference. Well, not so much recently. It was a few months ago now. I was at the Energy Transition North America Conference. And at the time, I was really focused on the topic of having our organizations have access to the information and the data that they need to be able to make intelligent sustainability decisions. And I bumped into Daniela Haldi-Selman. Daniela is the global head of energy and utilities industries at SAP. And I started talking to her, and she immediately got what I was getting at. And she's like, SAP is right smack dab in the middle of solving that challenge and that issue of having the information that our organizations need embedded into our already existing information systems so that that information can then be used to make intelligent sustainability decisions, especially across our supply chains. So Daniela, thank you for finally us being able to coordinate to get you on this show. Welcome.
Thank you, Delfina. Very happy to be here and excited to our conversation.
Well, some people wouldn't think that information systems is exciting, but if you think about it, without those information systems, we're just making decisions willy-nilly, right?
Absolutely. And if you think about how much of the global business worldwide is being touched by an SAP system, it's even more exciting for me to have that conversation, to really speak about, oh, we actually do touch almost every supply chain out there in the world.
Most people. There you go. that's why I wanted you on this show. So before we jump into it, Daniela, tell my audience a little bit about yourself. Why is this an exciting topic for you, and how did you get to this point? And I do have to mention as well, Daniela is joining us from Waldorf, Germany.
Right.
So this is an international discussion.
Right. I'm right now in our headquarter offices in Germany, and I got to SAP by firstly being super involved in, first of all, being part of a startup that was focusing on the three P's really, so people, planet, profit. And then I always continued that work either as part of a startup or as a mentor and coach to startups, where we're discussing sustainable and economic, from an economic perspective, viable concepts to drive new ideas and have new ideas flourish, really centered around those three P's. And this is also how I, first of all, ended up within SAP, but how I made my way throughout comms, corporate social responsibility, over sales, to solution management, and into this role that I'm in right now. And in that role, my team and I are really responsible and concerned with developing our industry strategy for that specific industry cluster, but also making sure that we drive the global solution management. So we listen to our customers, understand the requirements they have for products, and make sure that we tailor to the right market and find the market opportunity it fits well to. And then, of course, cover all of that go-to-market aspect that actually make our products come to life.
Okay, so Daniela, here's something that it struck me that this is a question that people have quite often. I was recently at a press tour for Honeywell, and they were talking to us about what they're doing as an organization around sustainability. And as part of that press tour, the members of the press, we were having cocktails and dinners and whatever on the side. And the question that everybody had was, here's all this wonderful stuff that they're doing for their customers, but does the organization itself really believe in this, and what are they doing internally? And so for Honeywell, it's a big deal that they as an organization are doing a lot. I would guess, Daniela, that given your dedication to this topic, your experience in startups, being attracted to come to work for a large organization, an SAP, is not just about what you're doing for customers, but the organization itself, I would imagine, is doing quite a bit internally. Am I getting it right?
Absolutely. So when you look at SAP, they don't have a sustainability strategy per se, but a sustainable business strategy, which really turns it around. And they are, of course, centered or focused on zero waste, zero inequality, and zero emissions. And that's one of the drivers, really, when I look at business SAP conducts, that I also wanted to come here and work for SAP. That's one of the big drivers, yeah.
Okay. Anything particular you wanna highlight around what the organization is doing, or can I just jump into the customer part?
No, of course. Let me maybe get into that. So in 2023, we finally became carbon neutral. I think that's a big achievement already.
Ah, yeah.
But not enough. We are, of course, striving for net zero, and that is along the future goals from an EU perspective, but globally also to hit the mark of 1.5 degree in the future in 2030. And that's really SAP focusing on improving its own energy performance, but making sure by software that we provide in the respective data centers in the cloud that this runs on green energy, of course. And then...
Oh, okay.
Also, yeah, it's a big portion of our scope 2 and 3 emissions, of course. And then looking into our waste performance and separation. So that's something that we are proving along the lines until 2030, of course, and reducing SAP's water consumption. And that goes countless for all of the customers, including SAP as an organization itself, and all of us as individuals, something that we should be looking after. And then in general, really raising awareness for sustainability and enabling us as employees to really improve SAP's environmental performance. And that means myself questioning, do I need to do that business travel? Yes or no? How do I commute? Can I not do it remotely maybe? And on top of that, because we have learned so much on our own journey and we provide technology to such a big audience of customers, we also develop solutions that are centered around sustainability. So this is one thing that we do. But of course, and you mentioned it before, let's get into the customer conversation. We also, with the overall portfolio that we provide, make sure that we really drive new business models and processes for our end customers.
So it sounds to me that what you're doing is you're leveraging the internal knowledge, learning, innovation within your own organization to then provide the solutions for your very broad customer base. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, you're absolutely getting that right. So of course, everything that we learn, we apply to our solutions as well and make sure that we pass on the best of the know-how to our customers.
Well, it's kind of important, right? If you're going to go telling people what to do,
of course. <You're> really, and we provide best practice service, so that's part of it. Absolutely.
So oil and gas is our global network here, and we met at the Energy Transition Conference. I would really like to now dive into that topic of what SAP is doing for their customers. How are they helping customers be more sustainable? And I'm leaving it broadly so that you can take the conversation in any direction, and then, you know, we can get into more specifics.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me touch a bit on how we really support our customers to become more sustainable and maybe bring in the topic of ESG metrics, because that's a broader discussion that's happening right now. So first of all, and I touched upon that already, of course, we want to bring every customer to the cloud because this is also part of our emission goal. Scope 3 is the biggest part of our emissions currently, and our commitment to net zero leads automatically to let our customers and partners make sure to run in the right data centers with high quality of renewable energy. And this is also why we provided the new product offering that we have, that also includes not just our Rise and Grow mantra, but also our industry-specific cloud solutions to drive that sustainable business journey. And since 2014, we already are powered by renewable energy for all facilities, including our data centers and the cloud partners. So I think that is a big achievement already. And on top of that, when it comes to customers, we really created a whole product portfolio around the four major key pillars, which are zero emission, zero waste, zero inequality, and also holistic steering and reporting on top of that.
Okay, Daniela, I need you to explain in more detail what you mean when you say holistic steering and reporting, because I think that this is getting at the heart of what organizations need.
Absolutely. So what we are doing is we combine the data that we have in our systems, the operational data, the transactional data, with sustainability data. And we developed a solution that we leverage for the steering and reporting. And the idea is to manage customers' business holistically. So there is one platform that's the cornerstone of sustainability management within SAP. And it helps companies really streamline their ESG and sustainability reporting efforts. Until now, ESG reporting has often been burdensome and super complex. And the product that we launched, it's called the Sustainability Control Tower. And that really helps report on ESG performance. So in the future, customers can harness the solutions to be better prepared to really set company-wide sustainability goals. It allows a customer then to get more insights into their own performance, to make sure that this information is being transferred back into the core of our solution to the, and in the end, be able to report holistically, not just on financial figures, but sustainability key figures.
Okay, so let's hone in on that just a little bit. One of the challenges that we're seeing, and as we said at the very beginning of this, is that the information that bubbles up through these systems is what allows us to make decisions.
Right.
This is not about just reporting. This is not just about seeing what's happening. It's about making decisions. And what we are seeing actually, I'm seeing this through my customers, is when organizations are setting sustainability goals, they do it on a functional basis. They go to this department and say, here are your sustainability goals. And then they go to another department and say, these are your sustainability goals. What they're failing to do is make decisions, like you said, holistically, so that they optimize the entire sustainability effort and results, so that they, to the extent that they need to sub-optimize the individual functions, so that together decisions are being made based on what will be best holistically, not just on individual functions, because sometimes you have to have trade-offs.
Yeah.
So.
Right. And it's so hard for customers to really assess the overall environmental, social, and governance impacts that they have and performance. So this is why it's essential to not just collect all of the corporate data, but really combine it at the right place with the sustainability metrics. And then make sure that you see or that you can actually make decisions across the matrix that you have in any organization.
Are you seeing that these efforts and these solutions that you're providing to customers are driving new business models and new processes for the energy transition?
Absolutely, it does. So right now we're speaking about really the sustainability portfolio at SAP. So that's okay. Really a dedicated solution portfolio that is tailored to then be able to report on those metrics. But of course, when you speak to my customer set, it owns or is responsible for around 70% of all emissions worldwide, which means that you do not just want to really report and act on the sustainability figures, but you want to change fundamentally the business processes of those customers to become more sustainable, but also renewable. And that works via different ways. One is adding renewable capacity across the industry. So our gas energy customers are looking at doing this, but also our utilities are looking towards creating more renewable generation capacity to the grid. In the past, specifically in regulated areas, we did not involve the end customer a lot. In deregulated markets, we always needed to compete for end customers. And we see more and more markets becoming deregulated. They now started a big initiative, for example, in Japan and Germany, they are already deregulated. Many European markets, other European markets as well, also Australia, the UK. There's really an empowered end customer, I would say. And that end customer also demands a new business process and new services. And in order to meet sustainability goals, I, of course, want to work with that end customer. How do I best get in contact with that end customer and leverage maybe the assets that an end customer owns, which could be a solar panel, can be a battery in the cellar, can be a heat pump, whatever it is, I want to provide technology so that my end customer is empowered to not just generate their own energy, but then dedicate the surplus they create to the grid or maybe to an energy community. So this is how technology can make a change and how we at SAP help our customers to create really new processes now with a focus on end customer. And there are many more examples like that.
Brilliant. Okay. So what you just did, Daniela, is you took this conversation to another level. My pea brain was originally focused on integrating operations inside of an organization. What you have just articulated to me and for my audience is that SAP is looking beyond just integrating inside of organizations to optimize their sustainability performance. You're looking at across their entire value chain, all the way to the end customer. Did I get that right?
That's absolutely correct. Yes.
Brilliant. Now, how about looking at customers beyond from the upstream? You talked about the downstream side all the way to their end customers, but helping organizations to their vendors and suppliers.
Yeah, there's a lot that we do for the vendor and supplier area as well. For example, we have big business networks that we connect suppliers with vendors. There is a lot of technology that we specifically have in that space. But if I look at the main topic that most of the utilities bring up, it's really centered around where most of their money goes. And that's also the asset side, because it's a super asset intensive industry. So customers, one of the major concerns specifically for retailers, but when you look at transmission, distribution, or also integrated utilities, or also big oil, gas, energy customers, it is how do I best build up my asset, maintain the health of my asset, make sure it's always serviced right, and it's in perfect usage at all times. And this is really where we are from an SAP perspective, provide a holistic asset management system, and we really cover the whole life cycle because we believe that the energy system needs to be fundamentally rebuilt.
Give me an example of where you are seeing, I like case studies. It really gets us allows us to wrap our heads around these discussions. Give us an example of the innovation, your favorite innovation story in the world of energy transition.
I think one of the, there are many, but one of the ones,
I'm sure.
One of the ones that I really like a lot is the whole topic of asset performance management in combination with digital twins, really, to monitor and predict the asset health, especially of assets that are critical assets or that are, for example, assets that need specific attention when it comes to reliability centered maintenance or failure mode and effect analysis to make them operate at the highest level. Let me take one example of the Atacama Desert, where Engie, for example, has a big solar panel field. And they, of course, want to leverage this to the most. When they haven't used really reliability-centered maintenance, they were sending out fixed service technicians to do constant maintenance, which was sometimes unnecessary performed, but sometimes way too late. So the energy delivery capacity was already decreased. That's one of the examples that then with SAP technology, we managed to bring that up to speed. We have 100% failure mode, things like that is something that I specifically like, or often the process of creating an asset, and then when you created an asset, handing that over in operations, that's also always a lengthy process where you have many process breaks in between. That's something that we do with Enel to make sure that their new generation capacities are being onboarded quicker to the operations and maintenance team and thus become faster deployed.
Do you see, Daniela, any difference in adoption, engagement, advancement from the customer perspective? Because you just mentioned Engie and you mentioned Enel. From a differences from a regional or geographic perspective, are some areas or some regions of the world moving quicker than the rest? And we should keep an eye on them to learn.
I really do like all of my customer base independent of region. I just want to send that out first. But of course, we do see, specifically when it comes to the end customer portion, the deregulated markets are at the forefront of controlling those distributed energy resources, but also wanting to make use of it. Let me mention the UK as a market or Australia as a market, but also we have a few European countries which are really at the forefront when it comes to that. But you always have to take into account that you cannot neglect geographic difficulties. You have very,
Absolutely.
Very different weather conditions when it comes to the US, when it comes to the topic of cloud security or perseverance when we look at, okay, what are natural disasters that could occur? That's rather less in Germany and more, for example, in the US. So they just have different priorities.
Brilliant. And that is something we talk about quite frequently on this show, is the differences in geographies, in regions, in the political environment of different countries, and how that will help or hinder any sort of advancements, and the need for those of us in more developed worlds, parts of the world, to not look negatively upon less developed parts of the world. They have their own environments that they need to live and survive in, and we cannot impose our views from one region onto the other. And so it is definitely a region by region, environment by environment approach to
Absolutely.
These topics, right?
And you don't even need to get so far. So let's just look at Germany and France. France has, I think, 95% of nuclear usage. Germany has zero.
Right.
We opted out. And that's just one example of how different it can be, even though we are neighboring countries.
Exactly. And that whole nuclear topic we discussed on the show, you know, a few weeks ago. So listening to you talk, it strikes me that this world is so incredibly different today, just in a decade, Daniela, on how things are changing. This must be exciting for our younger generations to get involved in this type of an innovation and advancement. Do you see SAP as a good place for young people to want to start a career or advance a career?
Absolutely. I do so. And I'm just 32, so I consider myself super young as well. But of course, young talents, like, we have so many opportunities. First of all, we touch, or we work day in, day out with customers. We touch so much business around the world, so many supply chains. We are in mostly every end-to-end value chain. That is a huge reason why you should be wanting to work with SAP. And then when it comes to the central themes that we are driving, it's not just their core business, but everything centered around AI as well. So how do we deliver AI technology across that core business? And then topics like sustainability, this is really what young people are also majorly concerned about. So why wouldn't they want to work with organizations from a technology perspective that actually can change something about the drive to net zero? I think that's a great opportunity.
Absolutely. When you say things like AI, the younger generation just perks up, right? They're like, ooh, this is the cool stuff. This is where I want to be.
And in a global one as well, by the way.
I love it. Okay, Daniela, let's wrap this thing up. What I want for you to do is give my audience your predictions for the energy and utility sector. With all of this innovation, what are your predictions for 2024?
When it comes to predictions, there are always many. I think what I really want to focus on with the end customers that we are taking care of is the topic of customer experience in combination with distributed energy resources, making sure that we provide the right technology to leverage every asset and end customer controls in order to create more renewable capacity to the grid. Secondly, what I definitely want to do with the whole customer base right now is dive into the topic of AI and showcase to them, oh, there's actually a lot of computational AI cases we deliver today. Is there something that we jointly want to develop in the future? So that's also one of the major concerns that we'll focus on this year. And then, of course, the whole topic of asset is really where most of my team members are looking at and where they really want to make a big change. And that goes hand in hand with AI as well. When we think about demand forecasting, when we think about all the opportunities that we have in grid optimization or DER, as already mentioned.
So asset integration, AI, and optimization. Right. Those are my three big takeaways.
Absolutely around.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Daniela, thank you so very much. It does my heart good to know that we are making these sorts of advancements in the area of information technology that is supporting the processes, that is allowing for us to evolve processes and take our sustainabilities to the next level. Daniela, thank you so very much for joining us all the way from Waldorf, Germany. And we were very privileged to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Delfina.
Join us again next week on the ESG Energized podcast, a production of the Oil and Gas Global Network. To learn more, go to oggn.com.